I'm sure a lot of people are qualified to stand up here today and talk about the miracles in their own life, and I just feel honored and blessed to stand here and give praise to God for what he's done in my life and in our lives. Amen? Amen. All right. I grew up in an environment where performance was most important, and you were measured by what you've done, or more often than not, what you haven't done. And we still struggle with that, a lot of us. It's how we measure our self-worth. And under that pressure, without the strength of God, I crumbled and fell to drugs and alcohol and at a very young age, and spent a lot of my time leading a double life, hiding my sin from God, thinking I was hiding my sin from God, my parents, my family, my friends, just leading this double lifestyle, and it was slowly tearing me down, and the devil certainly had his foot on my neck for quite a long time. And then out of the grace and mercy of God, he just transformed me. Before I even knew him, he took me out of that and literally overnight just changed the urges that I had to ever do it again. And it was just a total blessing, and praise God. And an overnight transformation. And I, of course, wanted to take credit for that. I wanted to, in my pride, just say, you know what, gosh, I did it. I have this power inside that I just completely transformed my life. And God has done amazing things in our lives, and I hope that we never take credit for those types of things. A wise man once said, pride is like bad breath. You're the only one who doesn't know you have it. And it was just an amazing thing, because once I realized that it wasn't about me, it was about the extraordinary miracles that he's done in my life, that was when I finally accepted Christ and got saved. And amen, it's been a blessing ever since. He's done extraordinary things in my life. And but now we're all in a battle. We're constantly in a battle. If you're not saved, if you haven't accepted Christ, you're in a losing battle. And if you have accepted Christ, you're in a battle, but nonetheless, you're walking in victory. But every day, we still battle against principalities. And in this battle, the devil has an ally within us, and that's our flesh. And that's why it's so important to get equipped. And the Bible talks a lot about getting equipped. And just listen to Ephesians 6:14 for a second and think about how equipped you are. Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Think about how prepared you are in battle. You know, you got a rickety old, you know, battle suit on, or are you really prepared? And that's why I encourage you to get plugged in. That's one of the biggest things of my message is, you know, a lot of us are saved, but we aren't plugged in because 20% of the church is doing 80% of the work. And it's important because, especially with small groups, starting with small groups, to have that accountability, to have that one-on-one, to meet people, to have God minister through other people to you. And our pride often holds us back and says, you know what, I don't need all that other stuff. I don't need small groups. Well, we do need them. The proverb says, iron sharpens iron. So as one man sharpens the countenance of his friend, well, how sharp is your sword when you're going out there in the world? How many of you want to be used by God, by a show of hands? Amen. That's awesome. And we've got to know what it is we can do for God, and that's why it's important we discover our spiritual gifts. And that's why I encourage you to go to Rock Training, Rockhead Training, because it's so important that he shows us in Rockhead Training what our spiritual gifts are, and that's a blessing as well. And, of course, ministry. You know, ministry is where we finally get to get plugged in and be a servant, and that's the epitome of who Christ really is, was the ultimate servant and what he did for us. And that's why we want to have servants' hearts and do what we can for him and his church. And remember, it's not about us. And remembering what he did is so important. And I'll close with this. This is something I read in a Max Lucado book last week, and it just really touched me. And for those of you who aren't saved, just to know what Christ did for you, and those of you who are, just remember what he's done in our lone lives. Jesus knew that the purpose of the nail in his hand was to place your sins where they could be hidden by his sacrifice. So Jesus himself swung the hammer. The same hand that stills the seas stilled your guilt. The same hand that cleansed the temple cleanses your heart. The hand is the hand of God. The nail is the nail of God. And as Jesus' hands opened willingly for that nail, the doors of heaven opened for you and I. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Josh Jenkins. As you have in your bulletin on the very front, you'll see that our strategy is to save, equip, and ascend. Josh is a prime example of somebody who was saved in our church. He's been equipped in our church, and we're sending him out as of our church. And so I would like all of you to really pay careful attention to that. Another example, as we are going over the things we've done over last year, we have a video we want to show you that really edifies what it is that we've done over the last year in the Lord. So.
The definition of a rock to me is an immovable and secure object or principle known for its total dependability. It's out of the rock of Christ that God is going to quench all your spiritual thirst. It gives me great pleasure to welcome you to the rock.
Much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, all about you, Jesus.
How many people here have been here for basically the whole year? Pretty much a lot of the year. Praise God. Praise God. God has done an amazing thing. Today is our 53rd Sunday. So basically, you know, we start our second year. And actually, it's Tuesday. The 27th was actually the date But God has done amazing things. And two more things I want to do before I start the message. I want to invite Joe and Melissa Del Rio up here. Melissa, I met when she was 12 years old. She's now 26, 14 years. I was her youth pastor at Horizon. She was about this tall. And when she turned 16, this guy started coming to church with her. And it was like her boyfriend. So, you know, she was like my little daughter, so I would jam him up. Remember that? I say, yo, man, what are your intentions with this woman? And they are married now. And I was an hour late to their wedding, doing their wedding. I thought it was at 3:30, and it was at 2:30. And it was so embarrassing. I don't get easily embarrassed, but I was really embarrassed that day. But they've been here, like I said, I've known them for 14 years, and they're moving away. And they obviously they've been a part of the start of this church, a part of my start of my ministry. She was one of the guinea pigs early in my early days, and we just want to tell you we love you guys. And if you ever come back, we know you will be back here, but we're going to pray for you. You're going to Idaho, right? Going to Idaho, and we have no idea what they're going to Idaho to do, but God is calling them to Idaho. We just want to pray for them, because I know them since they were little puppies. Lord, thank you for Joe and Melissa, and I thank you so much for just bringing them into my life and when they were little kids. And even though they're just little bigger kids, I just watched them grow in you so faithfully since teenagers, and so few teenage couples stay together and get married and walk with you. This is a miracle standing here. And we pray that you would bless them as they go to Idaho and use them in a mighty, mighty way to build your kingdom. And Lord, bless the work of their hands. And we pray if they ever come back that we would see them again, and especially to visit. But Lord, if they stay there forever, we pray that you would use them in an incredible way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks a lot, y'all. God bless you. All right. Okay. I'm going to ask the staff of the church to come up here. Now, while I do that, y'all can come on up. I'm going to ask everybody in here who volunteers for anything, whether it be a small group, usher, greeter, anything you've ever volunteered for you also to stand up, because we want to thank you. So just go ahead and stand up if you volunteer for anything all throughout the church. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Stay standing, please. Please stay standing. We just want to thank you for all you've done. Amen. Now, I want y'all to stay standing. I want everybody else who's sitting down, I want you to understand, and we've been saying this from the beginning, I'm going to say this all day today, that this is never going to be and should never be a one-man, a two-man, a five-man, a 20-man show. This is all of us, and we are all here for each other. More importantly, we are all here for the millions, literally, in San Diego that are not saved, and then in the state, and then in the country, and in the world. And so we're not here to just listen to me talk, sing some songs. We're here to get equipped and sent out to do ministry. So all of you who are sitting, we are going to challenge and encourage you today that next time we're doing this, you're standing, and there's a thousand or so more people who aren't here now sitting, get ready to get into that. Amen? The reason they're here is to help you do ministry. If they get in the way of you doing ministry, they and we are not doing our job. Period. Period. People not calling you back. People not helping you get involved in ministry, encouraging you. We are not doing our job. Period. That's a bottom line. And so we are here to do the work of the ministry. And so the reason they've come up here is not so you can clap for them. They wanted to clap for you and tell you thank you for doing the work of the ministry, because we have to help the people of San Diego and California. So one more time, let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens. Pens. And let's see your bulletins. Let's open those bulletins up. One year. Let's read this verse together. On the left flap, the memory verse for the week, Joshua 1:9, it says, let's all do it together on three. One, two, three. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. One more time. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord told them this, Joshua told them this, God through Joshua, is that when they were going to take the promised land, he commands them, don't be scared. And I can, a lot of times I tell my kids if they're going to do something and they say they're scared, I yell at them, don't be scared. Okay, Dad, I won't be scared. It's like when they're real little. One time my son fell and hit his head on the wall, in like the corner of the door. Bam! I mean, it was just rocked the whole house and everything. And I was checking the foundation, but then I was checking his head. And I said to him, don't cry, don't cry. And you know, he you could see him holding, his lip was quivered. He didn't cry. But he says here, don't be scared. When you think you're going to be scared, when things look scary, God says, don't be scared. Don't be a punk. Trust me. Look what it says. You know what? You don't realize that when you whine against God and you complain or you don't take a step of faith, spiritually, you can refer to yourself as a spiritual punk, because spiritually you're saying, I don't want to. And God is telling you right there, I'm commanding you, I'm not suggesting, I'm not encouraging, I'm commanding you to be strong and of good courage and don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, I'll be there. It's God saying, I'll be there, stop tripping. Okay, that's our memory verse, stop tripping. When you leave today, you will get a rock. Okay, if you have, how many people have never gotten a rock since I've been here, okay? When you leave today, if you don't have one, make sure you get one. There's tables outside. Make sure someone gives you one. This is not like the rosary bead where you pray and something's going to happen. There's no magic. See, it's nothing. Lightning's not going to come down. It's just a rock. But it's a reminder. That's it. A reminder of the church. Not me, not the building, of all of us. Some people of the rock are straying. Some people are struggling with this, struggling with that. Other people are praying for those struggling. You want to be one of the people praying for those struggling and praying for the church. Amen? That's what the rock is for. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. Listen to those pages. Yes, baby bubble. Yes, sir. Let's all bow our heads and pray as you get Deuteronomy 9. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. Lord, speak to us today. Encourage us today. Lord, I pray you fire people up today. Walking with God is exciting. And maybe people who don't think it's exciting, maybe they're not walking with you. Maybe they don't acknowledge and know that you're there working even in the midst of their pain. That's exciting to see you even work in the midst of our pain. Lord, bless us. Give us a vision to take the promise. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message is Taking the Promise. Taking the Promise. I was driving to church 3 weeks ago, and there was a car accident on the freeway. As I went by the car accident, if you ever see a car accident, a fire, whatever, just pray for those people. Pray for whatever's happening. And I was driving by, and this police officer flew by me going to the accident, 100 miles an hour, whatever. And I started thinking, there's a guy in his police car going to help those people. He has been trained to help those people. He's equipped. He got his radio. He's got his gun. He's got his first aid kit. He's got everything he's got. Experience, his badge. He has got flares. He can stop traffic. He can do anything he wants, all to help those people. And I started thinking about, here this guy is flying specifically for one purpose, to help those people. And I started thinking about me, so I think about us, so I think about this church. Why are we here? To help people. Now, obey Christ, worship God, but to help people. All those people who stood up, they're serving God so people can get help. All the people who didn't stand up, you need to be standing up so you could help people. Because what we all need to understand is that we exist to help people. We exist that people have a life-changing and productive relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our mission statement. We exist for that very purpose. So when you come to church, and when you say you belong to this church, and you have this rock sitting wherever you're going to sit it, whether it be on your car dashboard, your nightstand, wherever you go every day, that you would remember the reason we exist and the reason I'm a part of this, because I want to be a part of helping people experience, have a life-changing experience and productive relationship with Christ. I want to help people walk with God. Now, if you say in your mind, I don't have anything to do with that, you have the wrong church. There's 1,200 churches in San Diego. There's 1,200. And you know people come to church? Some people come to church to work. Some people come to church just to sit and get spiritually fat and hear stuff and gossip and talk about that. Please go someplace else to do that. Please. Oh, I beg you. But imagine, and next week, if I get through this message on time, next week's message, we're going to talk about Gideon and the army, how Gideon had 33,000 men, and God got rid of all of them but 300. He says, hey, those other dudes are in the way. Okay, tell them. That's a great sermon. We'll wait for the next week. Okay, but it's going to be the bomb, okay? But for us, I want you in your mind, when you go to church, to think, Lord, how are you going to use me? Equip me, encourage me today in church so I can be used. Have that in your mind. Please have that in your mind. And if you have some issues in your life, some problems, some burdens, which many people have, we all got them. Trust me. I mean, I saw somebody the other day say, well, you never have any problems. Oh, please. Please. I went to the doctor the other day for one of my problems, and I had to sit 2 hours to wait to see the doctor. That was a problem in of itself. We all got problems. You know what? That's okay. That's part of being human. See, that's not an excuse. Matter of fact, in two instances in the Bible, people were suicidal, didn't kill themselves. Judas did kill himself, but Moses and Elijah both asked God, kill me. I can't take it. And in both instances, God, in his own way, said, listen, stop whining and complaining. Let's go. That's what he said. He told Elijah, listen, we got a long... Matter of fact, Elijah, you want to kill yourself? You're going on a 40-day fast. You don't eat for the next 40 days, and we got a long trip. That's what he said to him. That was his therapy. Moses, he says, Moses, you want to kill yourself? Listen, just go get some workers to help you do the ministry, but we got to go. Now, I'm not saying that if you're suicidal, that's what I'm saying. But basically, my point is that God is way big. He's like, look, you having a problem doesn't preclude you from following God. I mean, that's all the more reason you need to follow God. You know, I was on a plane yesterday coming back from Nashville. So hilarious. There's a wonderful woman in the church who works for American Airlines, got me some upgrades. So happy. Oh, if she's here, if you're here, you hooked me up. So I'm sitting on a plane. I had two legs. I'm sitting on the one leg that wasn't upgraded yet. And I went there and said, listen, I have an upgrade. So how are you going to use it? Your points? I said, no, I have a courtesy upgrade from the personal services department. I'm a VIP. And can you... I didn't say that, but you know, so I'm applying, right? Make a long story short, the plane's getting ready to take off. And I said, look, I was told it was full, but it's not. Can you hook a brother up? And they said, well, people are coming. So I went back on the plane, and I'm looking to see if this one seat's open. And they finally, the guy comes on, and I'm looking, and they go. I'm like, yeah, yeah, I'm walking like George Jefferson, right? I go up there, and I sit next to a guy who's a Christian, backslidden. And he writes me 44 years old, writes me this two-page letter about his issue. He says, listen, read it. But we talked the whole time. He's like, man, God sent you here. Da, 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 da. And I was like, yeah, you know, you kind of moved over to the window seat. Can we have the window seat? And then we can talk. You know. I'm like, <kidding. laughs> But God put me in. He says, God sent you here. God put you up here, not so you could go to sleep, so you could talk to this guy. And he was telling, I said, do you go to church? He said, well, no, not. And he had all these excuses why he went, didn't go to church. And one of his excuses was, he says, I don't feel good enough. I was like, that's the reason you need to go to church. The pastor doesn't feel good enough to do what he does. He shouldn't. And so you need to go. So here's our vision. I said, you come to church, you say, Lord, I want to be part of the solution. We're going to take the promise. We're going to take the promise. I want to be part of taking the promise. I don't want to be part of the weight that prevents the promise from happening. Amen? Because God's going to do it. And he'll find, if I ain't getting away, he'll get somebody else. If you get in the way, he'll get somebody else. But he's going to do his thing. So we're telling God, God, we want you to do your thing. Do your thing. Do your thing. He's like, you sure? Do your thing. Okay? So before I get into this, I want you to settle in your mind, God, I want to be part of taking the promise. I want to see something happen. I don't just want to go to church. I want to see something happen. Two things for this year. Let me back up. Last year we talked about we're going to do Rockhead training. We had 1,100 people go through Rockhead training. Added out 1,100 people through Rockhead 1, Rockhead 2, Rockhead 3. Rockhead training is our leadership volunteer training. You see it on the book. This is our book. It says Rockhead training. You need to go to Rockhead training. It talks about what being a member is. Talks about what we believe. Talks about, you know, how to get involved, blah, 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 blah. Step number one, if you haven't been through Rockhead training, and watch all the hands go up. How many people haven't been through Rockhead training? Wow. All y'all need to go. You need to go. Then you need to be, we have 1,100 people, and added at 1,100 people, 779 are involved in ministry. That's amazing. Give them a hand. 2433 ministries, small group, children's, set up, tear down, men's, women's, prison, youth, drama, dance, building homes in Tijuana, music, rock pile, call, altar call, prayer, usher, greeter, technical, deaf ministry, on and on and on and on and on. Why? We got to help people. See Jesus. Got to help people. We got small groups. Our goal, it's in stages, but our goal was 80 small groups by July, and that's part of a bigger number, and we needed 60 by January. Guess how many we had in January? 60. Right on schedule. But we got to keep going. It's amazing. Small groups, we have 10 people or so every week meeting, talking more in depth about the message on Sunday. Every week, you got to get in a small group. That's where you get to know people. Well, the church is too big, and, you know, I don't get to know it. Go to a small group. Well, you know, I can't get it. Oh, just stop whining. Wine can't stop whining. Go to another church then. Yay! It's like, you know, you're dating somebody and you fight, fight, fight. You know, you don't really need to be dating. Just break up. It's okay. It really is okay. But, if you say, you know what? I want to learn. I want accountability. As iron sharpens iron, so another man and woman sharpens another man. You are not going to grow unless someone's in your face asking you about growing. What did you do yesterday? How come you were over that place? What were you doing over here? Small groups. We have to continue to multiply the small groups. Open up your home. Be a facilitator. Be an apprentice and learn how to be a small group leader. Why not? Why not you? Well, here are the two things we're going to do this year because we have to keep growing. We need two things. One, increase our borders. See those walls? They got to go. Now, because San Diego State's not going to let me blow those walls out, see, the ceiling's got to go, that wall's got to go, and that wall's got to go. That parking lot got to get closer to the front door. Can I get an amen? Amen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, man, I don't know if they would let me kind of move that $40 million structure over across the street. I doubt it. Therefore, that means God has to provide a place where we can have different walls and a different parking lot that's closer to the front door. Now listen, on this campus, because it is going from a building parking lot to campus, we want to have the International Ministry Training Center. That includes the Rock Church. That includes preschool, junior high school, college, training for missions, training for Miles Ahead Crusades and how to reach cities. It includes all of that. It includes a place where you can come 7 days a week and do ministry, have childcare, and have all kind of stuff during the day where that's where we live, cafeteria, ball fields, right on our own property. That's what God, that's what we're looking for. That's what we're praying for. God last 10 days ago, and here's stuff he's doing. I can't tell you what he's doing, but I'll tell you as I can, but he's doing this to me. He's doing this to me. Now, I'm a person of faith and vision, and I have ideas that are, to me, I mean, I have ideas. Last week, he said to me, "You're not thinking big enough. Look at this." Bam. So we were thinking, okay, we need 15 acres, we need 20 acres. He's got me up to 40 acres now. Actually, he's got me up to 93. But, and I think I told you a couple weeks ago, there's a place of 93 acres that we're praying for. But I'm like, God, what are you talking about? He's like, just pray for it. Shut up, okay? Great God, I want you to pray. Partner with us. One, we need increased borders to do ministry 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what we need ministry. Now, you may say, well, I don't want to do it. I don't want to be part of that. I don't believe in that. Well, you need to pray what you believe and then go someplace that believes that. You do. You know what? Because everybody needs to be where God's placed them. So you need to be where God's placed you. We hope that you, that's why I want to make this very clear so we're all on the same page. Because what I have to do is I have to convince the board, I have to convince the staff, which is not really hard because we all believe we're all on the same page. But if I have to constantly pull people, it's like, hey, man, you're making me work. I think maybe we should. I was watching this movie, When We Were Kings, about Muhammad Ali when he was fighting George Foreman. George Foreman was killing everybody. And right before the fight, Ali was in the dressing room, and this reporter who was there said that everybody was just depressed because they thought Ali was going to get whooped. Ali didn't believe that, but he was the only one. And he had to convince his own people, I'm going to whoop this dude. Let me tell you something. We all have to be convinced that God has said, go do this. Increase borders, and for increased borders, you need increased workers. Got to have more people. That means all of y'all in here, you need to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm ready to be used by God. Now, let me say something. If you don't go, if you end up saying, well, I don't want to be part of that, don't ever say to God you don't want to be used. Because this is nothing new what I'm talking about. This is totally biblical. This is totally biblical. That you be used by God, every single one of you. And guess what? No matter how much sin is in your life, no matter what you've done before, God still wants to use you because he wants to convert you. I was at a conference in Nashville just the other day talking to these kids, and I was challenging them to be world changers. And I said, God wants to use you. And if you're not saved, God wants to use you too, because in 2 minutes, you're getting ready to get saved. Actually, it was 5 minutes. And then the guy came and said, no, you got 1 minute. But you know what? God wants to convert you. And the day you get converted, now he wants to use you. The day I got saved, I called up my girlfriend, who we had been broken up, and said, we got to get back together. God started repairing my life immediately. And she's now my wife. We've been married 16 years. Immediately, I want to bring about change. Cool. So my context is this. We're going to take the promise. The promise is increased borders, and the promise is increased ministers. All of y'all, ministers, servants. Okay, Deuteronomy. There's six things I think we're going to look at. I think it's six. And I'll try to get them through them quick. Deuteronomy 9, verse 4. Six things about taking the promise. First thing, it is not because of our goodness, our intelligence, or anything in of ourselves that God is going to bless us. Look at verse 4. It says, do not think in your heart after the Lord has cast them out before you, the enemies, because of my righteousness the Lord has brought me in to possess the land. But it is because of the wickedness of the nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess the land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you, and that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore understand that the Lord your God is not giving you this land to possess because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. You know what he says? Hey, Miles, don't ever think you're better than these people. You got a stiff neck, got a hard head. it's because of what I want to do over here. Rock Church, don't ever think, well, we're better than this church, or we're this, or we're that. No, don't ever think that. Just thank God, thank you, God, you chose me. Thank you, God, you gave me the privilege of serving you. Thank you. Because guess what? He can always find somebody else like that. Oh, you got a problem? As quick as he's kicking you out the door, someone else is walking right back in there. First thing, it's always about Jesus Christ. We're never going to worship the buildings. We're not going to worship the land. We ain't going to worship even the ministries. We're going to worship what God is doing and the God who's doing it. It's about him. The next thing, turn to chapter 4, verse 37. It says, because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their descendants after them, and he brought you out of Egypt with his presence and his mighty power, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in to give you their land as an inheritance, as it is this day. Therefore, now this day, consider it in your heart that the Lord himself is God of heaven above and earth beneath. There is no other. You know what he says? First, I'm going to give you this promise, not because of your righteousness. Now, this applies to a promise for the church. It also applies to the promise of you, your promised land. A place of plenty, a place of peace, a place of God's provision, a place where you can totally depend on God and not have to worry about a thing. It's not because your righteousness, because we don't have any righteousness. Our righteousness is that we get from Christ. And in the process, God is going to overcome obstacles that you cannot overcome yourself. In other words, what does he say? Nations greater and mightier than you. In other words, the little guy is going to beat up the big guy. The ignorant person is going to outsmart the smart person. He says he's chose the foolish of the world, voila, to confound the wise. That's what he says. It's very, very comforting when you read that verse. I've chose the foolish and the dumb and the ignorant and the poor to confound the wise and the rich and the powerful. That's what the Bible says. Why? All he wants is someone who will trust him. Now, there are very intelligent, smart, rich people who trust God, and he'll use them just as fast. Just as fast. But just remember, when we see an obstacle, 40 acres, that's whatever this thing is going to be, it's going to be worth tens of millions of dollars. That is a big obstacle. Amen? Ooh, God, go ahead. That's going to be so much fun. You never want to dream something you can do. That ain't a dream. That's not a dream. That's an idea. Two different things. Oh, I have an idea. I'll just move this microphone. Okay, yeah, no problem. Boom. I have a dream. I have a dream. Something I never seen. Something I can't do. But I believe this is what God's showing me. Oh, man. And God shows it to you. And you go, God, it can't happen but by you. That's a dream. That's a vision. And so the reason it can't happen but by him, because there are nations and obstacles greater and mightier than you. That's God. And what we have to do as a church, we have to agree that our God is able to do that, and we have to agree that we're going to hold on and watch him do it. That's going to be exciting. So first, it's not because of our righteousness. Second, it's because there are nations and obstacles bigger than we can handle. Remember when they went into the promised land, there were giants in the land? Oh, yeah. And third, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22. Deuteronomy 7, 22. It says, the Lord that we are going to possess the promise, take the promise, little by little. The Lord your God will drive out these nations before you. Everybody say little. By. Okay, let's try it again. I'm going to take a deep breath. You need oxygen to project. If you want to know how to talk so loud, because oxygen. Say little by little. Doesn't that feel good? So let's say it one more time. Little by little. Very. The Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will be unable to destroy them all at once. Why? Lest the beast of the field become too numerous for you. How many of you, don't raise your hand, just think about it. You always want everything now. Everything now, now. I don't want to wait. I don't want to. Yeah, yeah. God says, no, 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 no. Here's why. A couple reasons why. If you get it all now, the beast will consume you. Well, what does that mean? What if God said tomorrow, okay, you guys have a 200,000 square foot complex with a 5,000 seat theater and a school and 500 acres and 15,000 water sprinklers and $9 million a month electric bill and 40 custodians and 90 to, you got it. You know what happened? We'd be broke in a day. What if one person paid for everything and everyone else got back to sit back and just enjoy it? What if one person prayed, one person had, and that one person ain't me, so don't, I ain't trying to imply nothing, but just not you. Just a small group over here were the ones who had the privilege to suffer through the process, and it is going to be suffering involved. Suffering's good. You know what suffering does? It purifies attitude. Purifies issues. What if only one person or one small group of people did all the work? Then everyone else kind of cruises in. And you know what the beasts become? Pride. Laziness. Complacency. Oh, I'll just cruise in. They don't need me. I'll just cruise out. They don't need me. Let me tell you something. It's not that we need you. It's God wants you. Because you know why? Because it's about helping people. If you come in here, first thing you do is get saved. Okay, you got your help. Now who are you going to help? Our job is to help you help them. That's what it's about. It's not about coming, I'm it, that's it, everything's cool. It's about always moving forward. God, what do you want me to do? How can I do what I'm doing better? How can I do what I'm doing better than that? Keep making me better. How can I help more people? How can I produce leaders who are going to produce leaders who are going to produce leaders and have explosive growth in the sense of people helping people? How can I do that? Lord, tell me. Because more people are going to hell than are going to heaven, that means we got a whole lot of work to do. That's the mentality of the rock. Get that in the rock heads. So we're gonna not because of our righteousness, overcome incredible obstacles. It's all about God, and He's gonna give us a little bit of time. Why? So we can grow and mature through the process. And if you're a mature Christian, all that means is that you are growing and learning and changing. That's all that means. If you're growing and learning, you're a healthy, mature Christian. Okay, turn to Joshua. Now we're ready to start the sermon. Everybody with me? Everybody say, taking the promise. Taking the promise. In the small groups this week, you're going to talk about all this, and I want to challenge you to think about what you can do to be part of the solution of taking the promise. Jews are getting ready to go into the promised land. Joshua's going to lead them in. Moses is dead. 2-3 million people getting ready to cross the Jordan to conquer the promised land, kill their enemies, take their land. Are you with me? God made the promise. I'm going to give you a land of the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. A land flowing with milk and a good and spacious land. That's what they're going to go get. That's what's happening right here. And they're getting ready to go in and look what God says. Remember, He says, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. I command you. And now three things we're going to look at, three more things. And it says in verse 1 in chapter 3, look, first thing is, follow the word of the Lord. Chapter 3, verse 1. It says, Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from the acacia grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, listen to what they commanded. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, which had the word of the Lord in it, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then, everybody say then. Say then. That little tiny voice is great. Say then. Very good. Okay. Then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Here's the ark, right? Here's the ark. Here's the river. The priest got the ark. The word of God is in the ark. They said, don't move until God's word moves. When you see the ark move, then you go. How many times do we do this? Okay, God, I want to do this. And God's over here saying, what you doing? No, God, I'm going to help you. I'm going to do it. That's why we have problems. That's why things are difficult, because we do it, not God. When God does it, I'm going to tell you an interesting story. A woman the other day was on her knees praying that I would talk to someone very close to her. She was on her knees praying. No, she was just praying for this person. Okay? Her ex-husband. Praying for him. 10 minutes later, her phone rings. Her ex-husband calls. Guess what he says? I just saw Miles at the bowling alley. 10 minutes. Now, she wasn't praying that I talked to him. She's just praying, God, please help him. He walks into the bowling alley. There I am. I go, hey, man, don't I know you? And I didn't know him. I always thought he was somebody else. And he goes, oh, man, you know, I go to the Rock. And we talk. I saw him again the very next day. I said, man, God is after you. When you let God go before you, you can't even keep up with what he's doing. But when you go before God, you are done. You are done. Don't go before God. Look at verse 5. Next step. Look what it says. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Everybody say wonder. Oh, say wonders. You know what a wonder is? A wonder is like, you know, y'all know who Ronnie Lott is, the football player? Okay, if you don't know Ronnie Lott, he's Hall of Fame, just dude is incredible, defensive back, knock people out all the time. And he used to talk about the woo hit. He says, you gotta, someone on the team has got to deliver early in the game the woo hit. Do you know what the woo hit is? That's when you hit somebody and everybody goes, woo. That's the woo hit. You know, woo hit is like, that's not a woo hit. That's like, oh, you know, a woo hit is wham. And you go, woo. Is he going to get up? That's a woo hit. That was what he was all about. Anybody, I mean, football players in here, you know what I'm talking about. That dude delivered the woo hit a whole lot of times. You want God to do the woo miracle. Woo! Did you hear what happened? Did you hear what happened? What? I drove and made it to church. That ain't a woo miracle. Oh, did you hear what happened? I prayed and my food didn't kill me. God must have blessed it. That's not a woo miracle. The woo hit is they got 40 acres. The woo hit is they got the parking. The woo hit is all them people got saved, or that person got saved and transformed. That's the woo hit. And he says, listen, sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart. Separate yourself from the world so I can deliver the woo hit. That's what he says. Now, if you don't want the woo, if you want the little baby miracles, you know, you praying for just so you can get to bed, go to sleep, and, you know, and eat your food, and, you know, praying for, you know, have a nice day. You don't even know what nice is, and, you know, whatever. If that's all you're praying for, you don't need me. There ain't no woo or nothing woo about that. But if you want something that no eye has seen, no ears heard, then you pray. Sanctify yourself. When I had my first child, I wanted a little girl. I've always had things for girls, always dated girls. My mother's a girl. My wife's a girl. So I wanted to have a little girl. And my daughter was born. She had a cone head. And when you're born, your head is soft. And when it comes to the birth canal, it bends to the shape of a cone. And some kids' heads are cone for a few months, a few years, I see. But, you know, I ain't one to gossip. God will help you out. But she had a cone head to the side. She was like Gumby, right? She had this big bump on her head. It's like Bobby Brown back in the day. Well, when she was born, I didn't want anybody near my daughter. She belonged to me. God wants you to belong to him. Nobody else. I don't belong to my wife. I don't belong to my parents. I don't belong to my kids. I belong to God. I belong to God. And when he wants to take me, he's going to take me. There's nothing I can do about it. And nothing they can do about it. And if he wants me to go over there, he should be able to get his way. And the reason I say he should, because we always don't do what God wants us to do. That's why we're here. It's because we mess up. He says, no, sanctify yourself. Separate yourself. What you got to separate yourself from? Your pride. Some of y'all are offended because I said you should go to another church. Don't be offended. Get fired up. Say, listen, I need to figure out what God wants me to do. If God wants you to go to the church, I want you there. If God wants you here, be here. But if you're going to be here, guess what? I know what he wants you to do when you're here. That's my only point. Because I know what he's called us to be. Nothing else. So he says, listen, separate yourself from your attitude, your pride, your lack of faith, your doubt, your fear, your past experience. However, whatever separates yourself from you clutching onto your things and your dreams and give it to God so God can get his way. Because I'm not going to do wonders. Because guess what? You ain't going to see them if you're holding on to your issues. You're going to be, oh, it's a coincidence. Oh, it just happened to be that way. Oh, how lucky. Nope. I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. You know what luck is? Whatever. God says, no, I want credit. God says, give me credit. I don't deal in luck. I specifically gave that person talent specifically for that. That ain't luck. That ain't coincidence. That's God's design. You want to be in God's design. You want to be in God's design. Look at the next thing. Look at verse chapter 3, verse 13. 13. It shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of your feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, from Dan, and they shall stand as a heap. Watch this. All y'all, let's just say, I got the ark of the covenant, I got the word of God, and here's the Jordan, and all y'all, 3 million people, we're getting ready to go, and it says, okay, Jordan, part so we can go take the promise. He says, look, you got to step in the water. And as soon as the priests do this, the water goes. Whoo, that must have been exciting. How could you not go, woo? How could you go, I could do that. No, that's a woo miracle. But they seen miracles. They seen water come out of the rock. They seen the Red Sea part. They seen manna. They seen quail. They seen all kinds of miracles, and they still doubted. How many miracles have you seen you still doubt? The fact you're here today is a miracle, because you should be dead. Amen? You should be strung out. You should be addicted. You should be pregnant. You should have diseases. You should be blind, crippled. You forget. Oh, yeah, I was kind of OD'ing last week. I was in Tijuana last night. How did I even get here? You forget. Some of you may think you're still in Tijuana. If you are going to take the promise, you got to walk by faith. And when God says move, you are not going to understand, because you're going to say, I'm not good enough. True. The giants are too big. True. I don't know how I'm going to do it. True. Go anyway. Okay. You know what the negative people say? But what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And what about this? Shh, shh, shh. Go to the back of the line where I can't hear you. But come, but just don't say that to me, because I don't want to hear that. All I want to hear is what he's saying. You want to hear what God said. That's why it's so important to pray and hear God's voice, because people and circumstances and the devil will tell you negative to give you the doubt. He says, listen, I'm not going to part the water until you put your feet in the water. If you don't put your feet in the water, I'm not moving. So if God's not working in your life, guess what? You didn't put your feet in the water. If God's telling you to pray and you're waiting for the miracle first, forget it. If God's telling you to bless your finances before you tithe, forget it. If God's telling you to bless your gifts before you use them, forget it. Step in the water. It's so exciting to walk by faith. We've had 10 crusades. We're getting ready to have our 11th, 4th of July at the Coors Amphitheater. And guess what? We sign contracts with arenas and never have the money. It's fun, too. Because in your mind, you know, man, I ain't got no money. You talking, yeah, we done a crusade. We done 1,000 kids. I'll sign a contract. Yeah, how much? 40 grand? Okay, then, no problem. How are we going to get the money? God, that's nothing. Wait till you have to buy this land. It's going to cost you millions and millions of dollars. You got to put your own personal house, your own personal life. Sign your kids over to the city of San Diego. I'll be signing that bad boy real quick. Take my kids. Feed them. Clothe them. Last thing. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Last thing. Ooh, this is the good part. It came to pass when all the people had complained, completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe. Everybody say 12 men. Hey, fellas, we have a men's conference, a men's breakfast next Saturday, and we have signups. The women, and this is totally a testosterone competitive announcement. You got that? The women, the girls. The girls had a breakfast, an event, dinner, was it dinner? A lunch. I wasn't there, so you know, I wasn't there. $18 they paid. It was 300 of them. Our breakfast is $8. Guess how many people are signed up? 36. What's up with that? I mean, you know, the reason the girls was more expensive because we had to pay for ambiance. Y'all had to have ambiance. They had a nice place. They had nice food. We got rocks for lunch. It's, you know, we got low budget. Because, you know, we don't need all that. We can just go show up anywhere, right? Amen, fellas? We don't need ambiance. We don't need atmosphere. We don't even need smiles. We just show up. After the service, go sign up. We got room for 400 men. And we purposely picked a room for 400 because we wanted to have more than the women. But, fellas, you know what? God has chosen men to be leaders. Now, women are leaders, too. But we as men have to step up. So, go sign. I don't know what you got to do. I got stuff to do on Saturday, too, that I would love to do. And, but you know what? God has called us to do this. So we're going to have a great time. We're going to challenge you. And we're going to do stuff what only us can do when the girls ain't around. You know what I'm saying? So, but look what it says in verse 1, chapter 4. Came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over to Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12. Fellas, let me hear some bass in the room. 12. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Let's rock this place. One more time. 12. Yeah. Watch one guy go sign up. Twelve men from a people, one of every tribe. And ladies, if you want your man to go, sign him up. Pray him in. Give him a lunch because our food is going to be real small. It's going to be like a donut. Now we're going to have breakfast. 12 men from among the tribes of Israel, one from every tribe, verse 3, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 rocks. Yeah. Take 12 rocks. Look what it says. Take 12 rocks from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priests stood, feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you're lodging tonight. Why? Proof, baby, Bubba, proof. I was there. I walked on dry ground. I saw the miracle. I got proof of it right here. right here. That's what they did it for. They held on to it. I don't want you to forget that I poured that water, God said. What's your proof? You got scars on your physical body, don't you? Scars on your physical body. Remember what it was like when it was open? Remember what it was like when there were stitches there? Remember what it was like when it was that big? No. You don't even remember what leg it was on, what arm it was on. You forgot. Remember when you go, oh, I can't, my hurt, I can't. And now you don't even remember what happened. God doesn't want you to forget what he's brought you through. He does not want you to forget what he's brought you through. My friends, I want you to pray this week. I want you to pray that God, I gotta look at my homework because I wrote it down somewhere. I want you to pray to one thing that you have to remove from your life, that you would be sanctified, set apart, so you could take the promise. The one thing that's preventing you from taking the promise. The one thing you got to leave on the other side of the Jordan. Because you know what? You have to. I want you to pray, and when you go to the small group, I want you to be thinking about this. I want to be part of my church taking the promise. I want to be part of that woo miracle. I want to see it happen. I don't want to just be a spectator. I want to be a part of it. I want to start volunteering. I want to get in Rockhead. I want to start praying. I want to start tithing regularly. I want to start coming to church regularly. I want to come to church prepared. When you come to church, before you get out, come in the door, say, God, speak to me. Just say that. Speak to me. You can say a little more space. Speak to me, God. Change me, God. Show me, God. Prepare me. Use me. Say that to him. Say that to him. Don't just come and go, oh, yeah, whatever. What are we reading? Oh, yeah, we're in Old Testament. Yeah. No. Get ready. Get ready. Because God's going to do something. Don't be one of those people. I see people all the time out in the community. Hey, I hear you speak on something. Oh, whatever. I said, are you a spectator or are you a member? Are you belong? Is it your church? Let's make it, well, kind of. Decide. Some of y'all been here for months. Decide. I'm in. God, I'm in. Let's go. I was just in Nashville this weekend and spoke at this concert. They had the Newsboys, Audio, T-Bone, Stephen Curtis Chapman, DC Talk. And they had all these kids, 6,500 kids. And then they had, through video, satellite, it live in 190 churches around the country. They were expecting 30,000, they estimated around 30,000 kids were in these places all around the country. And I was speaking right in the middle to do this message and altar call. And I'm sitting there, and God's like, look around you. Look at all these people that have the potential to do all this. Dream. Imagine every week doing this at your church. Do y'all know who Stephen Curtis Chapman is? It's kind of a rock thing and sold millions of records. Well, I had talked to him 15, 16 months ago. Did I tell you this already? That was last service. I said, hey, man, I'm thinking about starting a church. Will you come and sing at my church? And he goes, oh, yeah, you know, would you be open to doing worship? So I saw him Friday. I said, Stephen, I started that church. Do you still want to come? He's like, yeah, you know, we can try to work something out. And I'm looking at this TV thing. I'm looking at all the stuff going on. And God's saying, listen, let's do this. Do you want to be part of what God can do? Not through me, but through you. That you can go there. You can set it up. You can be part of the sound crew. You can be a crusade director. You can help train people. You. I don't want to care. I don't want to hear about what you've been through and how bad your life is. All I want to hear is how much faith in God do you have? I used cocaine. I used to smoke marijuana. I did all that stuff. Hey, that's fine. All I want to hear is how big is your God. That's what I want to hear. That's what you need to be thinking about. And so when you leave here today, I want you to say, Lord, what is the one thing that's preventing me from both feet in? Both feet in. This is where my church is. This, I'm going for the vision. I want to take the promise. I want to be part of taking the promise. I don't want to just be a spectator, and I don't want to be a ball and chain. I want to be part of taking the promise, and I'm going to go get people, and I'm going to break out of my shell and overcome my fears and my lack of faith or whatever it is, and I'm going to discover what that is, and I want to be used Because I have to say that every day. I have to say that every day. Because God is challenging me in stuff that I didn't have faith for. Matter of fact, 10 days ago, he showed me something. And I literally said, I don't have faith for that. And he says, well, you better get it. You better get it. You know what faith is? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So he says, you better get it, Miles, because we got stuff to do. And if you ain't going to get it, I'm going to get somebody else. I will get somebody else. And so I'm being challenged too. But let me tell you something. It is so exciting. God is big. One, identify that thing in your life that you got to get rid of to sanctify yourself. Two, fellas, let's meet Saturday. Let's talk Saturday openly, honestly about what we got to do. Amen. We got to love our wives if you're married. You got to respect women if you're not. And maybe God will send you that wife you've been praying for. But we got to talk seriously about being leaders. So come to the men's thing. Go out and sign up at the men's table. I know for us, we're going to wait the day before, Friday at 4:30, and call the office and find out where it's at. Don't do that. Let's do it today. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for being good. Thank you for loving us. Lord, there are incredible people in this room. Challenged people, gifted people. And I pray tonight you would help them identify what they got to let go of, that they may be part of the group that takes the promise. Lord, we pray for where you're going to relocate us, that we can grow and better serve the body and the people of San Diego and the world. We pray that we would just continue to add the ministers and the servants to the list of people who are going to partner with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Two things real quick. One, if the Bible says we're going to take it little by little, then our first year, which has been amazing, is little compared to what he's going to do. And two, we're preliminarily planning a crusade in Africa next summer. That's one of the things that's blowing my mind. In Uganda. So I want you to pray for that. We have cake outside. We're going to sing a song. I'll see you outside if you want to get some cake and some cookies.